Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Game six tonight. The Stanley Cup will be in the building as the Panthers will try to go back-to-back. The Oilers want to drag it back to Edmonton for
back
a game seven. Brennan Escott joining us, 880 Ched, Oilers and now a producer, a host, reporter, and all-around good guy. Brendan, how optimistic is Edmonton tonight? Because I'll tell you, Saskatchewan doesn't sound overly optimistic amongst the oil country members that they're going to be pulling off a victory tonight.
Well, I think there's a lot of realism around here that Florida is an excellent hockey team. And that's by virtue of the way that they've won the games in this series. I mean, aside from the overtime victory that they got, they've really decidedly won their games, as we know. So I think that there's an understanding of what could be tonight. And with that being said, obviously, anything is possible when you've got McDavid and Draisaitl on the same ice surface and potentially, depending on how this game goes, same ice surface at the same time. Now, I like that they're not starting in that format. I think that they're best served by trying to continue to do what they've been doing, not change too much out of the gates. Really, there's just the need for a better start, I think, is emphasized tonight, guys. But overall, optimism in the air, but realism in that it could all come to a crashing halt this evening.
Skinner in net, is that the right decision in your mind?
Absolutely it is. He is the one that has been there while this team has forged a bit of a reputation for either being the comeback kids or the bounce back kids, one of the two. And with that, he has provided you five wins in six games in the elimination dungeon, shall we say. And that goes back to last year, of course, with a .928 save percentage. So 5-1 and a .928 save percentage in six elimination games is a record that I'm comfortable going in with. Now, I know that it always isn't pretty with him, but I think what you're looking for is the highest percentage chance that he's going to have one of those games, and he's a better lock for that than he is Calvin Pickard.
Did you like the move to Pickard for game five?
I think it was appropriate in that he had performed well enough earlier in the playoffs to warrant a look. Yeah, I don't mind that idea. I don't think that it was necessarily Skinner's poor play that got him the hook in game four, and even he talked about that today. So I think if you're asking me, did that ultimately end up rattling your starting goaltender as he now has to be the guy for game six? I don't think so. I think that you've got a guy in Skinner who is strong enough to know that even though they did go with Pickard in game five, that they could still bounce back with him and sort of work this two-goaltender system that I'm sure nobody's really happy with, but they don't have a choice but to operate with right now until they can get this job done.
Brendan, I actually have really liked how the Oilers have handled the press and the questions after that loss on Saturday. And obviously, it's a strategy where it came from. Who knows? Whatever the locker room buzz is, I'm not sure. But the this series has been fun, has been sort of the message that they're sending to the press and that we're looking forward to game six. It's been fun. We're having fun. Hey, everything's fun. But at the end of the day, they have got to win, and the pressure, is there a way to compare the pressure between what Edmonton is facing and the pressure between Florida? Because they've got to win to carry the cup around the ice at home tonight. Who do you think it's weighing on more?
If I'm speaking honestly, I would suggest that this is weighing on Edmonton. I think that it's, you know, not to the point where it's taking away from their play, but like, let's not kid ourselves here. This means everything to Connor McDavid in terms of what he's been working his whole life for. They finally get there last year and it just comes up short. And we all saw the emotion in that Amazon documentary. And then they work all this time to get back here. And you think that it's it's still within reach, but it might get taken away, and it might be the same guys doing it. And so I think that there's a serious amount of pressure, at least on the captain of this team, that comes with that. I think that both teams, though, are incredibly well-equipped to handle that pressure. So I don't want to, like, politicize this and try and dodge an honest answer. I think that Florida's going to be feeling it as well. I don't think that anybody wants to get on the airplane to come back and do that from Florida's perspective. They know what it means to get dragged back to Alberta and have to do things over again. And to have to do things in this environment maybe would be what applies the most pressure to Florida, is knowing what they would be returning to on Friday night in Game 5 in this terror dome, as it's known to some up here at Rogers Place. So yeah, if they don't get it done tonight, I think more pressure would be on them. But I'm looking at Edmonton saying, yeah, time's up. This is it right here tonight.
Brendan Ascott joining us, Oilers Now from 880 Chad in Edmonton. Producer, host, of course, as we look at Game 6 tonight. Will the Panthers win back-to-back, or are we going to Game 7 in Edmonton? When you look at Connor McDavid, and he mentioned how badly he wants to win this, it is his end goal. He's won every individual trophy he can possibly win, even the Conn Smythe in a losing effort last year. It's about the cup, and the stats are ridiculous. Is there any doubt what you're going to get from 97 tonight for the Edmonton Oilers, and how badly does everybody have to keep up for Edmonton to force a Game 7?
Well, that's just it half the time, right, is finding players that can keep up with him. And somebody was asking me why Evander Kane hasn't had a look on that top line, and I think that's simply it. Is he may not be able to keep up with what McDavid's doing at this juncture skating-wise. McDavid is, if you look at the stats, probably the unluckiest shooter in these playoffs. He's shooting at just a 9% clip. His career average is like 13%. And just to put it in more perspective, in these playoffs, Leon Draisaitl is shooting just under 20% with his 11 goals. So I think that's why it feels like McDavid is having a harder time producing. He's actually leading the postseason in shots on goal with 78, and it just hasn't been falling for him. But you can count on him bringing the effort every single night, and especially in a situation like this. Like, I just have visions in my head, you guys, of him dancing up the ice and sashaying through three or four people and not even putting the puck in the net. That's just the zone entry that he seems to always be able to execute. So huge performance on deck. Now, can the rest of the troops rally around him? That's the biggest question, and probably the biggest thing that's been missing, especially in the absence of Zach Hyman. Where has the depth production been in this whole series?
Brendan, who should the Oilers be the most concerned about on the ice for the Panthers tonight?
I think it's a coin flip at this point between your two Conn Smythe trophy leaders, and that's Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand. But I know you want me to pick one, so I'm going to say the physical nature with which Sam Bennett plays, you can always count on having to keep your head up. And I just think that in a game like this, you know, when they're going to really be trying to physically impose themselves on Edmonton and make them crack and assert a Florida style of game, there's nobody really that embodies more of a Florida style of game than Sam Bennett tonight. So that's where my biggest point of concern is. Of course, it could be one where a clutch player like Matthew Tkachuk comes through. They have so much talent over there. Like, so much. I think, what is it, 7 players that out of their top 9 forwards did skate in the Four Nations face-off. So they're well-equipped to go out there and take care of business no matter who steps up. But I can see it being a Sam Bennett game for sure.
Brendan, a lot of being made of the, not only, you know, the Stuart Skinner debate, but, you know, Kapanen back in the lineup, Draisaitl and Kane. Brown was up on top of the line. Now he's back down. Perry goes back to line number 1. A lot of roster juggling. Klingberg comes back into the lineup. Has it been too much of Chris Knobloch? He must have found Mac T's old blender mixing up the lines for the last couple of games in the Stanley Cup final. Is it too much, or was it necessary because he's having a hard time finding anything to work?
Yeah, I think that you can certainly look back on this and make a case that he's been forced to do too much. And unfortunately, with the guys like Skinner and Arvidsson and even Kapanen, who've been rotating in and out of the lineup, not one of them has really leapt out and stolen all that ice time, stolen that spot in the lineup. Even people calling for Trent Frederick to take a seat, and that was never going to happen as long as he was healthy enough to play. But I can see where the people are trying to make that case. And it's a testament to the fact that that depth production that was so effective in the Dallas series and the Vegas series has dropped off. And now you're being forced to try and find that spark in the bottom part of the lineup by making that roster change. And it just hasn't really been there, unfortunately. So we'll get a look at Jeff Skinner again tonight. I think Kapanen's the right play. I think he's had the most success, especially alongside Draisaitl up there recently enough. I like what he brings as a skater, and he can penalty kill too. So if you get him out there in that role,
he hits too, right? He's hitting, right? In that Hyman absence, I was surprised that he got set for game five. Anyway.
Yeah, it did catch me by surprise as well. That's a very good point. And you're noticing the absence of Zach Hyman more and more. So that's one player that, to me, probably should have been in the lineup. I guess it was some defensive lapses that kind of led to him not being in the lineup for Game 5. But alas, you live with that, and you bring him back in here for Game 6. And again, you hope for that spark that they've been looking for in the last several games with these changes.
Brendan, what do you think? Game 7? Is it going to be an atmosphere on Friday night, or is it going to be garbage bag day on Thursday?
Well, guys, I didn't wake up in my Oilers jammies this morning, so I'm going to give you the honest truth here. I think that they need to come out and avoid getting scored on by a couple of goals in the first period, okay? That's been the biggest bugaboo for this team. All five games, they've given up at least two goals in the first period. So let's see what happens if you don't do that. I'm calling a 5-4 Oilers victory. They are dragging them back to Alberta, and hopefully we'll be talking again in the aftermath of a Game 7 victory or something like that, because it's about time.
There you go, Brendan. Thanks for joining us. Now you got Locker pumped up that he's also predicting an Oiler victory tonight. I'll just be over here in my Florida PJs. I'm not cheering for Florida, but I just have a bad feeling about this, to quote the great
Brendan, just to give you some context here.
That's good news for you guys, because I've sucked at calling games in this series.
He has been on and off. Like, he's running alongside the bandwagon, and he's on it, then he's off, then he's on it, then he's off.
I'm 1-4, one and four in this series. I've only got one prediction right in this series.
That was before the puck dropped.
I've got zero feel for this one. So me picking Florida is probably good news for the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay.
Brendan, have a good one. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game.
Will do. That's Brendan Escott, 880 Chad in Edmonton, the producer or host of Oilers Now. Still to come, our NHL analyst Drew Romando will weigh in on the coaching moves by Chris Knobloch ahead of this one, with some more lineup changes with Skinner in net for Game 6 tonight. What's your prediction? 1-877-332-8255. Give us a ring right here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Time now for the Green Zone 1-Minute Drill. The latest in sports. Stuart Skinner gets the net tonight for a must-win situation for the Oilers. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Of course, the Panthers can clinch their second straight Stanley Cup with a win tonight. Other roster moves. Klingberg back in on the blue line for the Oilers. Kapanen is on the second line. He was...
Kane, Draisaitl, Kapanen. I don't hate that second line.
I give it one shift before Draisaitl and McDavid are playing together for the entire game.
You're very negative today.
That's not negative. It's not negative. I just think
it's going to be a different game.
That's what
game
they
tonight.
Do in pregame skating. Then, nah, never mind. Let's put them out together.
This is going to be a very different game tonight.
I'm being a realist. Florida's a better team. I believe they win the Stanley Cup. 1-877-332-8255 is the text line. Here on the Green Zone. Blue Jays kick off a six-game homestand tonight. They're taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Blue Jays went 5-4 in a recent 9-game road swing. Things did not go well with the Philadelphia Phillies, who swept away the Toronto Blue Jays. And Jay Monahan is leaving the PGA Tour. Of course, he came under a lot of heat with the LIV Golf and the Saudi situation. He is being replaced actually by one of Roger Goodell's right-hand men from the NFL, who a lot of people thought might replace Roger Goodell. But instead, he's going over to the PGA Tour. Surprised they didn't hire Rory McIlroy. Seems like he has all the answers. Coming up next, Brett Lawther speaks to the media for the first time since a pretty poor game in Hamilton. What the kicker had to say next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Can I kick it? Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone.
Glad we got that in there.
Well, we're going to talk about kicking. Locker, get it?
Yeah.
Can I kick it? Tribe Called Quest. Brett Lawther on Saturday could not, was the problem. But today he spoke to a, what would you call it? A gaggle of reporters? A murder of reporters? What is a group of reporters called? A flock? There was a lot of people there to talk to Brett Lawther today. And of course, as always, Brett Lawther steps to the mic, answers everybody's question, and puts it on himself.
It was just me. There's no, I don't want anyone, you know, everyone's trying to cover up other things and coaches and teammates are unreal, but yeah, that's just on me. There's nothing wrong with the hold snaps or no wind or any issues. None of those were difficult kicks. You got to put those through.
You've been through this a few times with Brett Lawther, Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter. You're not surprised by the candor and the accountability from Brett Lawther today?
No, that's what he does. He answers the questions, takes responsibility, and says ultimately falls on him. And now we know that there's a lot that goes into the kicks, but of course Brett's not going to ever say it's anything else, but we'll see. I do expect him to be better once you get through this early season. There is a new holder. Like, as much as Brett doesn't want to blame that, it is something else to get used to. He didn't kick throughout practice, so I am on the train of thought that he is going to be okay.
There's a rhythm to it.
And, oh, absolutely.
And you don't have to be an expert at football to watch sort of the awkwardness of a couple of those kicks on the weekend.
There's just, it seems like there's a breath of hesitancy.
Yeah, there's
that,
just,
is the ball going to be down?
Yeah.
Where it needs to be for him.
Lack of fluidness to it, right? So he can say that, you know, hey, it's on me, but at the end of the day, it probably is the, as much as I like Joe.
Well, week one, he didn't really have a lot of kicks to do. They didn't kick a lot of field goals. The one long one they did have, the snap went all awry and everything went out the window. So they're going to figure it out. This is the early season. Let's not forget Joe Couch also got cut in training camp. He wasn't there the whole time. He wasn't always the holder for Brett Lawther. So once again, just something I think they're going to work out.
Do they have backups for that kind of thing? Like, what if Joe gets hurt? Like, who do they throw in there?
I imagine it would be Jake Mayer.
I think Jake Mayer and Tommy Stevens have held at college. Could you imagine Tommy Stevens being the holder? How much more trick plays you could run from that position?
See, Daryl Locker and I were watching practice together, and we were talking about this exact thing. Why don't they have a quarterback be the holder so you can do a lot more fake plays on those things? And like Tommy Stevens gets the ball.
That was a thing in the past, wasn't it?
Absolutely it was. And now you have a punter who's sorry to Joe Couch. I saw the run, and was it the preseason game where he ran all the way back and made that tackle on the return? So he's athletic.
Yes.
But it's not like he can roll out and bomb it with his arm downfield or anything that on a trick play. Back in the day, it was like Dressler and Bag. Those guys could get out of the pocket, run. We saw John Ryan, but he was, when he was in Seattle as the holder, he was able to pull it off. But he was a collegiate receiver for the U of R Rams before he played punter in the National Football League.
You got to have good hands, right?
Yeah, like yeah, that's it, too. And they're used to the long snap and getting it down, but anyways.
Yeah. What else? Maybe they're concerned about a quarterback getting hurt.
Yeah.
Is that probably why it doesn't happen as much anymore?
I guess, but
Seriously. I mean, how many times?
How many injuries do you see on the holder in
football?
Yeah,
how many times does the defense get to the holder?
Rarely. What else? Brett Lawther kind of hinted at something today I find very intriguing, just his mentality, that he doesn't mind the heat on him right now. Like, this is almost, not that he wants the heat, but he'll accept the heat and try to spin it to a positive.
He thrives in these situations. Adversity. Look at the Brett Lawther story. He was out of football. He was doing other things. He had moved on, but an opportunity came, and he's always wanted to come back. He's battled back. He knows that comes with the kicker position. There's that spotlight on you because you're asked to do one thing. If you don't do that one thing, people automatically call for replacements and stuff. So he has that kind of mindset that I'm going to show you, and a little bit of adversity isn't going to hold him back because he's already had to overcome so much to even reach the last game, which was his 100th as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider, and he's also scored 1,000 CFL points, which is another plateau not a lot of people get to.
Brett should do a Zoom session with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The team that seems to fold under pressure.
I mean, Brett does a lot of presentations about mental health throughout this province during the offseason at schools.
But that is, it's important to highlight that. Is it not? Right? You can take a negative and make it a positive.
Yep.
And I have a lot of respect for people that are, like, he is in a market where there is a lot of attention on the team that you are a part of. And then you're the kicker. You've got to find a way to deal with that. If you're mad at the press or the media and the fans all the time, you're not going to be productive. You're just not going to be productive on that team.
Look at Rory in golf right now.
Well, what's going
on
with him?
Ticked off at everybody, and he sucks at it. Let's go to some receiver news. Not great. Not great at all. Kean Schaefer-Baker injured in week one. Now Sam Emilis injured late in the game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. What's the update on Sam?
Yeah, we were told it's a bit of a Charlie horse thing after the game, but it's listed as a foot injury, so I'm not quite sure exactly what the injury is going to be and how serious it's going to be. Corey Mace didn't seem overly concerned at this point, said they were just holding him back. They did a kind of lighter practice, see how he goes tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow's closed practice, so we won't be able to see how he goes, but something to keep an eye on. Now, this team,
they do declare tomorrow in an actor available and out. Yes, tomorrow. So we'll find that out after practice.
After practice. But this team, as we've said the entire offseason, preseason, even week one, week two, a lot of depth. I think this team can overcome another injury. Joe Robustelli was great throughout camp. He's the guy who was running there for Sam Emilis. They have some ratio flexibility because they did start 8 Canadians in that game against Hamilton. They'll be able to weather the storm, at least for now. If he ends up on the 6th game, I don't expect he will. I'm not saying he's going to, but weirder things have happened where coaches have told us, oh yeah, we're not too worried. All of a sudden they end up on the 6th game. Then I'll be a little bit more concerned.
Seems to be a bit of a game that gets played, right? Because we'll go to practice, we'll watch practice, and everybody will go, oh, they're really throwing the ball to number 82. Joe, a lot here. Is he taking first team reps? Is he going to be in the lineup? And then you go ask Coach Mace, hey, what's up? That he got the, and he's like, ah, we're just trying him out and seeing how he looks. Fairly obvious that Joe's probably going to start Friday.
Joe Robustelli will be in the lineup.
Yeah.
I'd be a little surprised if he isn't.
Well,
and he's got a great story, too. Like, this guy, I was talking to him today for the pregame show. I took a flyer and talked to Joe based on I think he's going to play. And he went to a free agent camp a couple of years ago. Didn't get the rider said, you're a heck of an athlete, but you don't have the experience. So he found like a junior college to go play at to get some more tackle football experience because at the time he was playing flag in his comeback.
He was on the Olympic team in the States?
Their national flag football team. So he did that. And then he went the next year, go walk up to the table. Here's my $100. I'm Joe Robustelli. I've now played. And they went, okay, you're a heck of an athlete. Bring you up to Saskatchewan. And well, I think he'll play, and he's played like in the preseason, Brittany, you were saying, like, we were all impressed by Joe Robustelli again in the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will translate well. That's why I have faith that if there is an injury, they can overcome it because they do have Joe Robustelli being one of those guys who they can turn to. But I also do say if Sam Emelis misses a wide amount of time, that is a cause for concern because we know how much I think of Sam Emelis and how good he is as a receiver in this league.
I wonder what kind of crossover we're going to have down the road, because I haven't heard a story like that where somebody comes from flag into tackle. It's probably very
It's going
few.
To start happening more and more and more and more. More. Yeah.
But, and just based on a couple of conversations we've had, Jamie, you and I here on the Green Zone with football players, like they're thinking about, especially with the Olympics on the horizon, they're like, hey, you know what?
There are some incredibly talented football players who have not yet played tackle football in their teens, and some into their late teens, that if they love football, they could see something in college, scholarship scouting that way, and see where it goes. Also, we did see Thomas Bertrand Hudon. He missed last week, was practicing today. To get Joe Robustelli on the roster, we're trying to figure out which American would come off. Might be Kadeem Carey. Not sure about that. But it's good to see Thomas Bertrand Hudon back after missing last week.
They had AJ and Kadeem on the field today with...
Everybody has gotten first-team reps today.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting how they kind of work the roster out. Could be a defensive lineman. You need to take off an American to bring on Joe Robustelli, so that's kind of what we're looking
for. If they keep the three, what do they do with Thomas?
He comes on for Sam Emelis. That's an easy switch.
Okay.
Canadian for a Canadian. It's the American because you have a bunch of healthy Americans.
And does he play mainly special teams then on Friday? TBH?
Yeah.
His normal role in what he normally does.
Okay.
So we'll see what that roster. We'll have to wait till Thursday to see what that depth chart does. Okay, Britton Gray, you and I have been awesome at this.
No, you haven't. We've actually sucked at it.
No, it depends on which way you look at it. We have been great at predicting the opposite of what happens. We have been nailing it when it comes to the George Costanza rule of sports predictions.
All right, who have you got?
What do you got for Game 6 tonight, Oilers or Panthers?
I'm pretty sure at the beginning of this series, I said Oilers in 7, so I have the Oilers winning tonight to force that Game 7.
All right, got another one.
Is that good for you, though, that he's picking the Oilers to win?
Listen, it's fine. He's awful at this, so
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
I'm not worried about it.
You got the Oilers tonight. And on Friday night, if you're predicting the Oilers in 7, I got a feeling we're seeing Stanley Cup in Alex Barkov's hands tonight.
I have a feeling I'm eating another pierogi pizza on Friday.
We'll see what happens. Britton Gray has a lot more coverage, CJME.com, CKOM.com, as well as our socials at Green Zone SK, and of course, the Blitz podcast. Look for it tomorrow afternoon. This is the Green Zone. We want your prediction tonight. What's going to happen? Oilers, Panthers, game number 6. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll keep you up to date weather-wise as well. Might see some are in the Southwest corridor, some thunder showers in and around Saskatchewan. So we'll keep you up to date on any watches or warnings right now. There are severe thunderstorm watches in some areas of Southwest Saskatchewan. Just watches right now.
Fireman was lifted too for
yes, it is
Saskatchewan.
Thankfully, some wetter, cooler temperatures in the central and northern half has allowed all those great people fighting the wildfires to contain some of the bigger ones. So
at least slowing them down, right, where they're not growing and moving, which is good.
Hopefully there's still looks like there's a little bit more rain on its way up in those portions. So that's some good news for, of course, end of school year. A lot of people starting to head out, go camping. The fire ban's lifted. Jamie Locker here on the Green Zone. Oilers, Panthers tonight. Locker, you haven't put it on the board yet.
No, I did.
Oh, there it is. Sorry.
Edmonton win, force game 7. Locker. We got Oilers in 7.
But it's McDavid. Not a guarantee.
No, not it's on the board. Oilers in 7. McDavid will not be denied. That's Murray and Regina. So, no, not, no.
Not the boss, Murray?
No. I had like three conversations with Murray today about, you know, McDavid and not showing up and not getting any goals.
It's one of my favorite Truth or Trash Tuesdays, and we're going to do Truth or Trash Tuesday a little bit later on. We did this Truth or Trash, and if they're listening, they'll text it, and they'll was it 3 or 4 years ago, one of the listeners, and he texted it the other day, who claimed McDavid was overrated. We did a Truth or Trash Tuesday on this. He texted the other day. And there's still those who do feel that McDavid can do a little bit more than he is currently doing for the Edmonton Oilers.
I said to Murray today, I said, listen, he'd maybe been a bit quiet in this series, but
he's
got 33 points in the playoffs. And he's like, no, he doesn't.
It's been a very quiet 33 points.
And then how do you lead the playoffs in scoring quietly?
The problem with McDavid,
because he's not scoring the big goals.
Yeah, okay.
Look at Draisaitl. Look at Marchand. Look at Sam Bennett. They are scoring big goals at big times. McDavid isn't.
He's got 13 more points in the playoffs than Brad Marchand.
He scores a nice little goal to make it 4-2 in a blowout. Like, great move for that worthless goal that means nothing in this series. But put it on the board. It's now 33 points for Connor McDavid. Now, he is the best player on the planet. I'm not saying. Now, he did score the biggest, not one of the biggest goals most recently, the overtime winner in the Four Nations.
Yeah.
And his point production in elimination games is ridiculous. He's like 2-point player a game in elimination games.
That's why I think we've got a good night ahead of us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Oilers are going to force this back to Berta, as they say. But we have been getting a lot of, like, the fanfire has been crazy today on the text line for predictions. So keep them coming.
Pretty sure Locker just made up a term. Never heard the term fanfire in my life. All right, Edmonton Oilers, Florida Panthers tonight. Stuart Skinner is in net for the Edmonton Oilers. The Stanley Cup will be in the building. Toronto Blue Jays opening up a homestand. They take on Arizona. Most recently, they got swept by Philadelphia, ending what was an impressive run of victories for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Rough Rider practice, no Sam Emilis, but Joe Robustelli was running in his spot ahead of the Argo game on Friday night. Coming up next, our NHL analyst, Coach Drew, will be in on assessing Coach Knobloch's decisions ahead of Game 6 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.